You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Ozzy tells us to let go.
We let go. And we slow our roll. Thank you. Good morning, Christopher D. Simone.
Good morning, Ed Alexander.
Hey. Happy anniversary, bro.
Oh, I know what I did wrong.
Hold on. What do you mean? Tell me what there I did wrong over better. Here. So
I plugged into the jack that's the one that doesn't have the adapter kind of thing.
So it doesn't.
And it sounds like crap.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But now we're much better. Good morning. Morning, Ed.
Good morning, Chris. Happy anniversary.
11 years.
Dang, that's crazy.
It's way crazy.
Wow.
Of terrorizing the airwaves.
You've been making me coffee for 11 years. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
We do have, these are weird times, so
yeah.
No big cake right now. I don't know what else is showing up today. But
no balloons, no nothing.
The ladies made us some nice Martha Stewart cakey chocolate chip cookies for our anniversary.
Excellent. Sweet. Thank you. I will get that in a second. Yum. Oh.
We got one apiece. It's part of the rationing.
Yeah. Well, I see. That's all you get.
Got a birthday.
Keep the lights out.
We got a card from Bill and Betsy.
Really?
It has a couple of four alcoholics sitting on a little black and white vintage picture. And it says, "Dear Chris and Ed, congratulations. Thanks for 11 years of great informative local radio, which some might call sheer terror radio. Keep bringing it. Bill number two and Betsy." Look at you guys. Look at you guys. We have three guests today. We have Danny Shearer at the bottom of the hour, Green Valley News. We have Naomi Lopez from the Goldwater Institute at 7-ish.
Good.
And then Food Wednesday is Divine Bovine. Ben from Divine Bovine. Love what Ben does over on Wilmot and Speedway. Could be the best burgers in Southern Arizona, what this guy's doing. So can't wait to see Ben. We are doing Food Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in conjunction with our friends at Visit Tucson, supporting local restaurants through these times. And my wife tells me yesterday, she's like, "Hey, Chris," my wife, she goes, "I am getting overblown with requests by restaurants." And so now we have to make the consideration, are we going to do Food Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays and Fridays? So that may happen. There'll be a Wake Up Tucson staff meeting between me and Mrs. D later today, and we will figure that out. Yesterday I was tooling around the OV, and I thought a great thing I saw. I don't want to get him in trouble with any of the not that they did anything that it was in Oral Valley, right? So it's about 4:30-ish yesterday. I'm tooling on my bicycle, getting a little cardio, as we like to say. And what do I see? Is all of these neighbors, you're going to love this, they set up a little table and a couple of chairs on the end of their driveway, right?
Yeah.
And then what they're doing is they're staying on their driveway with big glasses of wine. And they're having like a street thing where they're talking to their neighbors across the street, but staying on their driveways. It was totally hilarious. And as I'm driving through, they're like cheering me like I was like on the El Torto Tucson or something like that. But watching, I love this idea. A neighborhood in Oral Valley. I don't know if they're doing
this. A parade, right?
Not a parade.
Yeah.
It's a street social distancing cocktail party.
Okay.
So everyone's got a table and two chairs at the end of their driveway, right? And they got someone brought their speaker out. They're playing some music and they're literally staying in their spot, talking to each other, drinking vino outside.
Excellent.
I was like, it's one of the best things I've heard of all day. So, and we got, of course, lots of news stuff to cover, Corona and otherwise, before this is all over. And of course, being our 11th anniversary, that means I'm going to do the old guy thing. I'm going to reminisce a little bit. So we'll have some fun. So we'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll kiss 3 hours goodbye, as we like to say. So 790-2040 is the phone number.
I don't know if it's going to work.
Well, we're going to try.
I think I broke it.
Ed broke the phones
already
on our 11th anniversary. Thank you very much.
The cleaning crew did. I'll blame it on them.
Wow.
Oops.
So do you think we can get Bill number one on?
I don't know. I had him for a while, and then I lost him three times, and now...
I'm going to eat my cookie.
He's there, but I don't think he can get on the air. Are you there, Bill? See, he can't get in, so...
So is it possible for you to do a reboot of that thing while we go to break?
Yeah, I did that three times. I'll try it again.
You pulled out all the plugs?
Yeah. We'll try it again.
These cookies are good.
Good for you.
These anniversary cookies that my daughter and wife made are amazing. It's the Martha Stewart cakey chocolate chip cookie recipe. So, all right, when we come back,
okay.
Hopefully we'll start taking your phone calls at the next break, 790-2040.
I hope so.
This hour of Wake Up Tucson brought to you by Cabco AZ, Central Arizona Block. Three great locations in Tucson, Wetmore, Valencia, by the place with the big airplanes, and then out in the beautiful Sierra Vista. So, Ed Alexander, what do you got?
I looked up all the music and everything from 11 years ago today.
It's all crap.
Oh, my gosh. It's all Beyonce, Lady Gaga, every female in the world. Those high school kids were listening to. That was crazy. But the number one song of the year, I think I can find. I don't have that either.
Is it Let's Get It Started?
No. But that would help, wouldn't it? Let's just do that, okay?
Let's just do that.
All right.
That's
it was Black Eyed Peas, so let's do that.
Let's get
it started in here.
Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, 11th anniversary. Let's go.
That was your song when you guys signed on 11 years ago. Good grief.
After listening to this, I wish your music was broken and not the phone.
Right? Here's what it is, baby.
Actually, I like Let's Get It Started much better than that.
Yep.
7790. How's your phones? Are they screwed?
Yep.
Just admit. Excellent. Nothing better than this. Is classic Wake
Having
Up Tucson.
Having a birthday and
the foods
work.
Are screwed on our anniversary. That's all right.
Not connected. What do you mean not connected?
Not connected. Where's Ray?
I don't know. Here's somebody.
Here's somebody. couple of people on Facebook. I put a picture up of me, Ed, and Higgins and Adriana when we had that massive anniversary party at Lowe's Ventana in the backyard there. That was a hell of a party. And let's see. So what I put was 11 years ago today, Doug and Mary Martin took a shot with two guys doing a radio show. They saddled a radio Hall of Famer named Ed Alexander to these radio neophytes, and he's been along for quite a ride. Thanks to Adriana for coming aboard and not only being a great event coordinator, but an ally to make Tucson better for all small business owners and taxpayers. Thanks to my amazing wife who keeps it all together. Thanks to everyone at KVOI over the years for all of their support. The sales team, the great Jerry Cross, Elsa, Alicia, Terry Live, rest in peace, girl, Ray Allen, and then, of course, our compadres, Bill Buckmaster, young Zach, Greg, our new production guy, Patty, our GM, and I'm sure I'm missing a lot more people. Christina Jensen's another one. Rhonda, great bookkeeper. Got to smile a little more, but great bookkeeper. Thanks for all of our amazing sponsors. Some of us have been with us for several or more years, and you know them: Dr. Bedoya, Window Depot, Ron Arenas, Rocco. I can kind of keep going. I know I'm going to miss somebody. So, thanks to all our listeners. They're loyal, active, and very, very smart. Thanks to all the amazing. One of the legacies of this show will be the amount of amazing friendships that have developed over the years. Not just between the Wake Up crew and the listeners, but amongst the listeners themselves. We will get through this COVID crap and we'll be stronger and hopefully smarter on the other end. A couple of great comments so far from people. Deb Santos, Frankie's wife, she's living in Minnesota. Great real voices of Tucson. I enjoy listening from Minnesota, keeping up on what's really happening in Tucson. Congratulations to 11 years. Cheers to many more. Thank you for the love and support you've shown us and the support for small businesses in Tucson. I responded to Deb, Frankie Santos's wife, who, and I said, we will always remember me, Joe, and Ed, the day that Frankie Cheesesteak and John McCain were on the same show together. One of the best food Fridays ever. Is McCain comes in, he's got one assistant with him, and I just remember Frankie making sure that John got his pepper and egg sandwich that he was serving for Food Friday. He's like, "Hey, Senator, here's your pepper and egg sandwich." I'll never forget John McCain and Frankie Santos with pepper and egg sandwiches. So, I like this listener, Paul. I remember hearing the first show leading into Dennis Miller. That's true. Dennis Miller followed us when we first started, thinking, well, at least they have some personality. It's been a fun. It's been fun all the way. Happy anniversary, Dave Croteau, formerly Green Party Dave. Congratulations. Your impact on Tucson has been really, really big. Bill number one, who is on the show. Who is on the phone, but we can't get him on the phone. Bill, we're going to fix this. Ed's on with everybody. He's going to make it happen. He says, an anniversary some look forward to with good cheer and some look forward with dread. Here's to many more years of bringing cheer to the many and dread to all the right folks that can't stand the spotlight. Amen, brother Bill. As we like to say, one of our lines used to be... the show that 8 out of 10 local government officials don't want you to listen to. It's like a bad superhero thing. Let me bore you with the origin story of Wake Up Tucson. This is like Bruce Banner getting hit with gamma radiation or Spidey getting bit by a radioactive spider. This is from a Saturday morning radio show called Business and Banter. I did with my buddy Deb Ferns, Babes with Bullets, comes on the show sporadically, very busy lady. And it was the proto Wake Up Tucson. We were talking about all of this local stuff. We had long form interviews. I remember having Mike Hine for an hour. Mike Hine, there's a name you hadn't heard from in a while. The guy who really is responsible for this show, if I'm going to pick one person, okay, there's two people. Jerry Bustamante said, Chris, you should have a radio show, and that's when I started the Saturday show. But I remember Bob McMahon started Italia Restaurant on Tankerville. And I remember Rick Grinnell calling me up and says, hey, Bob would like to meet for lunch at Italia, kind of wants your take on the food and catch up. And I said, sure. So we went over to Italia, which is the place that eventually became the brew place with the monkey on it. I can't believe I'm spacing it. It's right down the street here. And so Bob and I were sitting there with Rick, and we're having lunch. And there's two things. Bob asked me a question and two questions. The first question was, how do you like the Italian from Italia? And I said, well, you're almost getting there. You're two notches below the macaroni grill. So keep working. And then, of course, they closed down several months later. But the second more important question he asked was, did you have Joe Higgins on your show? And I said, what the hell's a Joe Higgins? Oh, he's running Pima County Supervisor against Ann Day. And I said, yeah, put us together. So Joe came over for a Business and Banter. I might have the recording of that. I got to go look in the archives of Joe and I first talking on Business and Banter on a Saturday. And we did an hour interview. We did a long hour interview of why Joe's doing all this and stuff. And then we went over to Rincon Market for breakfast. Oh, no, this is so illegal that Ed Alexander's here.
Thank you.
And we had a great breakfast together, and we talked for another 2 hours after that, and then quote semi-history was made, as they say. So 790-2040 is the phone number. Ed, you got phones? All right, let's get Bill number one on the show. Billy number one, Bill Beard, Running for Pima County District 1, I feel like this is Joe and I's fault eventually that you're running for office.
I'll blame anybody. Anyway, I just wanted to say, I just posted on Facebook, but who knew that 11 years ago, that little one-hour hole in the schedule that Doug filled in with you guys would turn into what it's turned into. You have been comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable for 11 years, and here's to many, many more years of doing the same.
Thank you, sir. I totally appreciate that, man. Thank you for all of your activism and all of your contributions over the 11 years. You are definitely in the inner circle of Hall of Fame Wakeys, as we like to say.
See what you started?
I know. That's why when I see Al, he keeps punching me in the arm. So,
yes. All right. Take care.
Have a good day. So I will tell you that I can't believe he's here. This is welcome to Joe Higgins. Ed, you guys, is he on? All right. What's up, big guy?
Well, good morning, Sunshine. How could I possibly miss this morning?
Hey, are we 6 feet away from each other?
We are 6 feet away. I wore my mask this morning. And
thank you.
I don't know where you two have been. I know where I've been hanging out.
You even
called me this morning to remind me, and I was going to surprise you, and I didn't want you to, so I ignored the call.
I was just calling you to say hi, and it felt like the tradition that we talked before the show should have happened today.
April 1st, every morning for about, 25, 30 minutes as you drove to town and I drove in, we would do the show prep in the morning.
Yes.
It was always a fun time to catch up on what's going on.
And, Joe had all of his papers.
Oh, of course I did.
Printed out. It was like a part of the IRS tax code on the table of all of his notes.
So, the firstborn and baby, I'm the firstborn, so I got my stuff together. You'd come in and do a 2-hour, 3-hour show with us with just a napkin and a couple of statements.
Or nothing.
And every once in a while, we'd kind of get this lull, and you go, what do you got over there in that pile you want to clean out? We'd hit a story and have a lot of fun.
Remember we do the rapid fire because right. We had to get all your stuff out of your life
right.
Before it was all over. So,
right. And I think, doing this for so many years, you have to devour every piece of news from national, international, economic, religion, social, education. I mean, you become an expert in so many fields, and that has just been a fun joy to do it with you. In fact, I miss having those conversations like, well, what does this mean? What do you think? Where are we going? What is this going to happen? How does this work? Who's going to win the presidency? All those things.
Well, when we see each other.
Yeah, we always catch up.
We do that anyway.
Yeah.
We do the deep dives. That part of the origin story, this really in the end starts at Chaffin's.
Yeah.
Right? Joe and I are having breakfast together at Chaffin's, which is now Welcome Diner on Euclid and Broadway. And we're just this crap that him and I talk about for all those years together, Huckleberry, blah, yeah. blah, blah, lack of leadership, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Why does this happen? The favored developer. And I said to Higgins, it was our Seinfeld. It was our George and Jerry moment. I go, hey, we just did a show. He's like, what
are you
talking
remember
about?
As a candidate when I came and interviewed your show? Do you remember at all that interview? Because I don't remember the details of, was I nervous? Was I comfortable? I know we had a good discussion because we're both about the same age, kids coming out from different
angles. I think we had an innate comfort with each other
yeah.
that started from the beginning. So yeah. I think it was just like every other conversation we had after that.
We've interviewed so many politicians. My favorite is, Vogt, Ted's brother. Remember, he was running for something, and he came in, and he went, he had 30 seconds. Okay, he had a full folder full of notes and stuff you want to talk about, right? So you ask him a basic question, like, why do you want to run? And he absolutely froze.
Yes.
And he just froze, couldn't even get a word out. So both you and I feel terrible. We're trying to, ad-lib a little bit.
Do you remember what I did to him?
Yes, I totally remember what you did. Tell the audience what you did.
So what I did, literally, is I gathered up all his notes, put it back in his folder. I leaned over towards the hallway, and I threw them all in the hallway, and I said, I never want to see this again.
And he turned out to be a good friend and a great
absolutely.
Guy over time. That was his first shot. So I always think about him when I talk about my first radio interview with you.
All right. Bottom of the hour news coming up. Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. This feels like old hat for Higgins. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30, The Voice. Absolutely.
Right. It's like the Young Turks back then, right? We're going to tear down the world and rebuild it up.
We were young. You look at the pictures.
Yes. You look older in that picture
you
than
do.
You do
you
now.
You look younger now.
Somebody
you
said
look
that,
better
I
now.
Know that.
I said
you.
It.
Oh, okay.
You look way better. You know what it was? You were still figuring out what... spiritually, you're in a much better place now than you were 10 years ago. That's what I think.
Yep.
Okay.
And much more vivacious now than you were. You were a zombie by the time you got to us. You know, you were like, oh, I'm an ops guy here. You just came off your previous non-radio gig.
Yeah.
And then, but look at the look on your face. You're like, oh, God, I'm stuck with these two bastards. You're so full of crap.
I have like, oh, yes, yeah. You did.
I didn't know what the hell was going on.
I got the emails to prove it.
Well, yeah. No, but that wasn't the look I had.
Well,
it must have came in from outside.
There's a lot of looks in there.
From the inside. Okay.
Starstruck, deerstruck, right? Deer in the headlight. We, you know, because we had never done this. So we didn't know about, like, timeouts and clocks and breaks and close to the mic and popping your peas and all the things that we don't know on radio. So we broke the third line. You started doing it, Chris, and it was a big deal for Ed because he's a pro. We're not, you know?
So one of the emails Ed sent, 11 years later, I can tell this story.
Okay.
So what happened was I'm making fun of him screwing up in the back.
Hitting the buttons wrong or whatever.
Right, we used to kid preacher, about
11 years of hitting the buttons wrong, guys.
That's right, because we had the preacher button, remember, on the phone? If you didn't switch it over, it was the preacher guy from KGMS or some crap like that.
Yes.
Right? And so what happened was I bring it up on the air, right? And I said, hey, thumbs over there. You think you could, you know, get this crap straight, right? So he sends us the professional email, being the pro that he is. Dear Chris and Joe, you know, a professional radio person doesn't mention these things that are blowing up in the back. Thus the magic of radio, you know, and all that stuff. And I said, hey, we're calling out all the warts. Our warts, the county's warts, anyone's warts.
The third wall.
And what's funny is, I remember a couple of years later being at, like, one of our cocktail parties, and a listener comes up, she goes, one of my favorite parts is when we talk about Ed blowing up the other side of the board. And I was just like,
in the World War II era board over there.
Hold on, let me get my Joe Higgins Christmas present.
Yay! That's the best thing that's ever happened, Joe.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the station, you know, we'd have holes in the wall because there was always remodeling something. And it was like we're in this little booth. It was Doug's old kitchen table.
Kitchen table.
If you only knew, folks, and we're in there with senators and congressmen and mayors.
Yes.
Hey, is Buckmaster having the mayor on? Is that what I heard in the promo?
He's not having the I have three people banned from the show, right?
Right.
And Dan, we're going to get to you in 2 seconds. Well, we know Huckleberry, right? Until one of the electeds come on.
Right.
Or two of his electeds come on. And then it was Paul Cunningham.
Oh, no. Why?
And you're part of that story.
What happened?
You remember when the dude used to call in every other week and we used to have a decent conversation?
Sure.
And then he stopped calling in because he was running for re-election against Kelly Lawton. Yeah. And then he calls you up the day after and you call me up. You go, hey, can we get Cunningham back on the show? And I said, he can go to hell. He's not going to come on during the real, but now the day after he wins, I'd like to come on again. And so we don't play that. So he was out. And then Rahina is now banned until she gets on Buckmaster's show.
After screwing him three times over, going on
KTAR up in Phoenix last week and screwing Billy over, we're not playing that.
And what's Governor Ducey? He's on everything, sending out emails on every show he's on. I mean,
he's having a town hall tonight.
Right.
You think Rahina's going to have a town hall to ask questions? That ain't happening. And Doug is, we're working on a date. He'll be either on tomorrow or Friday.
Cool. Cool.
So I can have the governor call up, but I can't get the mayor to call up Buckmaster.
She's busy. What's going on over there?
We're all busy, girl.
We're all busy.
All right. Speaking of Dan Shearer, let's go to him right now. Dan, welcome to the Squared Circle with Higgins and T. Simone.
Joe, good to hear your voice.
Well, you too, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. I can't believe it's been 11 years either. I'm about 2 months ahead of you in Green Valley, so we were all trying to figure things out. And who among us thought we'd still be here 11 years later?
Isn't that crazy, though, Dan?
Yeah.
How are you making sense of all this, and what's the scuttlebutt down in Green Valley? Because you have a lot of octogenarians down there, I think, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them are quarantining, but it's really not life that's much different than what it was before, quite honestly, for a lot of them, because a lot of them did stay home and didn't do a whole lot. But when the rec centers closed, it was that is just truth. But when the rec centers closed, that was kind of, you know, the social outlet. So they are finding ways to still meet and social distance, as we say. And we have a picture in the paper today. Imagine a dance where you can't get any closer than 6 feet to your partner. And so it was a real wide angle shot, but it was someone held a dance the other day.
Sounds like my entire high school experience, Dan.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So you don't want to get too close to the girls. And, so we actually had to make, you know, the picture pretty big just to kind of get everybody in. But so they're getting creative. They're doing things by phone, and people are learning what Zoom is, and just trying to figure it out, hunker down. You know, a trip to the store is an adventure. You want to go out, but you don't want to go out. Yeah. And so that's going on. But,
how are your store shelves? How's the grocery stores? Are they pretty picked up?
You know, it is, but it's hit and miss, and it just kind of depends on when the delivery is. And we keep telling people it's a demand problem, not a supply problem. Don't worry about it. I think the governor's order Monday was very interesting because, you know, it's a stay-at-home order, but it really didn't change a whole lot.
Nope. Very vague,
Yeah, which it was pretty vague, but you know what? I'm not so sure it was a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So I know people disagree on what an essential service is, and I think he was being a little realistic in certain areas about whether there was much risk. And really what it comes down to is that people have to take responsibility. You know, if you're in that vulnerable population, that you want to be a little bit more careful, and maybe then you don't go to the barber shop. And people are doing that here.
USA Today ran a story about Arizona not locking down, and then the next day we locked down, right?
And it's soft. And, you know, I tell you, I have never been on a news story that has just literally changed by the hour.
Yeah.
And we've posted dozens and dozens of stories on this locally, and most of them never make it to print because they're outdated. But this is the good reason. And in fact, we reminded our readers the other day, this is why you should get those digital subscriptions going, because then you can kind of really be on top of things and stuff that you're not going to see in the paper because it's happening so quickly.
Yeah. You know, I was sitting with a guy who's a longtime business owner in this town, and he kind of wished that as part of this, you know, flattening of the curve thing, that, and the government will never do this, have a little more faith in small business owners learning how to do this correctly, so we don't have to we didn't have to go straight into like total shutdown for 5 weeks or six, whatever we're looking at here,
right?
And say, how do you do it better, right? Like the lady who's the Maricopa County Health Director said, well, maybe we need to get back to having dine-in, but we keep the, you know, you lower the density of dining tables,
right?
Or, you know, proper masks or gloves, or at least as we're starting to get out of this,
you see White House press conferences, there's like every third or fourth chair is open,
right?
They're trying to keep people apart.
Well, I think just on your news broadcast, they were talking about Home Depot, and they're not going to allow as many people into the store. And we've seen that down here, I think, with Walmart and a couple of others. And so they are trying to, I think, look ahead and say, okay, this is what's going to look like if we have kind of a slow reopening. And it's just not going to be open up and everyone's going to come flooding in. Because, first of all, I don't think people would do that. I think even if the government says it's okay, they're going to be tentative. And so we'll have to see how this works out. But I think they are trying to look at these different strategies. You see tape on the ground, and you should go to our post offices. Everyone's you know, wrapped in plastic. It's kind of a strange thing.
So Dan, you follow this very, very closely, as do we all. Is this 1918 Spanish flu, or is it a real bad flu season, or is it a precursor to one that could hit us down the road as technology changes? What do you think?
I think I'm a little surprised that maybe in you know, my years on Earth, that maybe something like this hasn't happened to this extent. There's a lot more fear involved in this, I think, because we've seen it hit a couple of big countries and do a lot of damage. I would sure hope that we are 100 years later a little more astute about how to handle something like this, even though this virus is a big question mark. And I think that's what's scaring people, is we don't quite know what it is and how it behaves, and we certainly don't have much to fight it with. So that's the real scary thing. Next round we'll be in better shape, but you know, people have asked me, gosh, so you know, with all my medical training, so gosh, why haven't we seen one of these big things, you know, before, and how did this one kind of get out of control, and why were we not prepared for it? So it's a good question.
Were you following H1N1 and swine and all that stuff and what was going on this closely?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you know what? There just wasn't nearly the you know, the, I'm going to call it hysteria, because there is some hysteria down my way about it. And I get phone calls every single day. You know, you have to tell us what's going on in Green Valley. And I say, look, the state and the county do not drill down below just the county level saying that there are X number of people in the county. They don't say Green Valley or not. And you know what? I'm not sure that I really want those numbers because, number one, it could either induce panic or if we don't have very many cases, it could cause people to relax. And I don't really want either of those. I do have an interview online. It's a Q&A with a guy from our hospital, and he was pretty candid about how many patients they have there and cases and tests that they've sent in and everything. And so it's certainly not overwhelming us. But again, I just tell people, live as if it's all around you, because it is. We just don't know it.
As of this morning, Pima County, are you looking at that?
No.
202 with 15 new cases yesterday is the official number.
Right, and they'll get, they update that.
The whole thing about new cases means nothing to me because it has to do with the testing and all this other jazz.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And those, and because we have more tests, you're going to start to see those numbers rocket. And they've, Bob England from the county and others with the state have said that exact thing. Don't freak out over the numbers. I'm, as you've pointed out, I'm the editorial director for all of our papers in 11 states, and that is the message to the editors is, don't focus on the numbers so much because that will really freak people out. Report them. We have to, but put them in context, you know, if you have a lot
of. So here's the freak out number, right? So they did that story. I hammered it on Monday, right? All the news people, mainstream media people were hitting on, we have more deaths here than in China.
Right.
Bullcrap. Okay, no one should believe the Communist Chinese Party ever about anything,
right?
I read the Newsweek story about how the crematoriums are running night and day for the last so many weeks in China, and that's way more than 2,000 people dead. So, but they ran with that. We're worse than China. It's like, kiss my grits.
And it's interesting how we will believe China on certain things and absolutely not trust them on others. I mean, and then we can get over, and then same thing over in Russia, you know, where it's like Russia's like West Virginia. Nope, no problem here. You know, yes, there is. There's a problem.
Let's get back to swine flu. All right. So 2019, 2010, 60 million Americans were infected. 60 million is the number from that. Right? They talked about...
What year again? 210?
Right when Barack got there. Okay. 300,000 were hospitalized during the swine flu. And we didn't do anything.
Right. I don't remember even missing a beat on any of these.
Now, I'm not saying they're the same on how they transmit or anything like that, but I'm just saying the difference is 10... What's the difference is 10 years later, right? Number one, President. Trump's in the office.
Right.
That's number one.
Right.
Number two... Social media.
Yes.
Right? How many more people are on this useless social media crap 11 years later?
Yes.
And that's a really big problem.
Right? Well,
you know.
So. Well, and I think we went over the stats once. I think it was 2017. We had, and I think I mentioned it last time, 157 flu deaths in Pima County alone. Mm. And why do we not report that? Well, because it happens every year.
Right.
And so, but back to your point, social media has been a killer on this, and we've seen it influence so many things for bad. It can be used for good, of course, but for bad because people hear something. I tell you, if I passed along half the stuff I heard, I would have this entire area down here in a complete and utter panic. And I'm telling you, it would be so easy to do. Unfortunately, there are people out there who revel in that, or they're just so ignorant they don't know just to shut up until they verify their information.
Now, Danny, I got to go to break. You hold on for one more segment, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. We're hanging out with Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, Joe Higgins from the Joe Higgins News.
Prodigal son.
Absolutely. This goes out to a listener up in the lower foothills, initials of J.H. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
It's crazy seeing an old man bop around like that. I don't know.
Moving that big old butt.
6:50.
This was my Cactus Moon song, man. I played. This was my favorite request.
Oh, my
Chris
Lord.
Chris has got a big old butt. Oh, yeah?
Oh, my gosh. Surprised Dan's still on the air.
Thanks, Dan.
I don't know. We'll see.
6:52 in the morning. Naomi Lopez from Goldwater Institute coming up at the top of the next hour, and then Ben from Divine Bovine. We're doing Food Fridays now every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to help our local restaurants.
Perfect. Excellent.
So
I got a good call from Vince Bianchi. Oof. Story in the paper.
Yep.
Tough.
Had to close down his tangerine one.
Yeah, tough.
That was always a tough situation to begin with.
Well, and he said we had reconstruction and you know what he had. It's a long haul.
Yep. So let's get back to Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. Dan, I think one of the questions I'm going to ask you every couple of weeks is how is the, if we're going to grade the media on their performance during the COVID-19 thing, Where are they at right now on the first day of April?
Oh, brother. Well, they're fools, I think, frankly, on a lot of this. It's easy to become overwhelmed because you're going channel to channel to channel, and they're telling just these, I think for the most part, honest stories, but they are, it's just like you're being bludgeoned with bad news, and it's depressing people. I've seen a few who have looked at the acts of kindness that are going on, and we've done quite a bit of that down here because the people need the mental break.
Sure.
And usually that comes with turning the page to a different story. But for us, the last four, five, six issues, which is the last 3 weeks, have all been coronavirus for the most part because there's simply nothing else going on.
Yeah,
there's
no sports
news in that
right.
area. Yeah. No sports. People are not getting out, but we are digging up some of those stories, and we're telling them, but this we had to be careful that to give people the truth and give them the full story, but people have to be careful that diet of news that they're bringing in. But as far as accuracy goes and everything, generally okay, but there are some things where you kind of roll your eyes because you know that they are just kind of hitting on certain buttons and not telling.
My favorite one is CBS News using the footage of the Italians and saying it was New York. It's like,
oh man.
So Dan, you're a news guy, been doing it for a long time. And when I was on the show, you kind of saw the segmentation happening in the small markets and the appealing to a niche audience, like the CNNs and the Washington Post and New York Times definitely go to the left. And then you have the Wall Street Journals and the Fox News to the right. Is that just a condition of where we're at forever now? Or do you think that there'll be a market correction? Where do you go for good, honest news anymore?
Well, that's a great question. I had a discussion about 3 weeks ago with an organization called the Spectrum, and they are telling things from the right, and they will not acknowledge us. I was on the phone with the CEO for probably 45 minutes, and I was just saying, look, you guys come into this saying that you want to tell news that isn't out there, which is to me, buzzword,
right.
Or we're going to tell it from our perspective. Now, they have done some really, really good stuff on the coronavirus in the state of Arizona, and they do have someone here, but they're kind of the newest thing in the market there. They're kind of like AZ Mirror, which is out of Phoenix, and kind of like in the vein of Dylan Smith.
Okay.
And where, these are very slim operations, but they have seasoned news people behind it, and some of them have an agenda, some of them don't, and you just have to be careful and know the background of the funders of these things and the journalists themselves. And so some of it is okay to use and some of it is not, but you know what? I have found that with many, many outlets, you just have to be really careful. I mean, I think we have things like, Associated Press and, that are Reuters and whatever that are generally responsible and doing the right thing. But a lot of the others won't.
I used to be a huge fan of NPR, the morning edition and stuff.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. That's just become this complete, bang on Trump at every moment of every time. There's no honest, no down the middle anymore at all.
Right, and people have to remember that lots of ways to skew a story, and
yes.
One of them is to simply not tell it, to tell the story. And so I think we see that. I think Fox is tremendously guilty of that.
Yes.
CNN has gone really in the other direction, and much to my dismay. And I only look at CNN anymore for breaking news because they are really on top of it. Have people all over the world, and they'll do it. And the others, I just kind of survey just to see what's going on, but. I will tell you the best answer is lots and lots of sources.
Yeah, you just got to look everywhere and you got to be educated, know yourself, and you got to understand.
But the problem is most of our brothers and sisters are looking at headlines as they scroll through their Facebook.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And I tell you, a headline can throw you in an absolute wrong direction and give you the sense that you kind of know what the story is and you don't. And so that, I got to tell you, there are journalists and professors out there telling students today, look, no one's going to really read past the first couple of paragraphs, so kind of got to get it in there. And I'm saying, look, if they don't want to, then I guess I really don't care what the news is. Unfortunately, these people vote, and they're making big decisions for our country.
The only thing I can hope, and I'm looking at is, remember back in the day when we used to get faxes that sent to you marketing, and then all of a sudden it was all the email fax, email marketing, and that kind of went away because you tune it out. I can't help but think that we're going to one day wake up and tune this stuff out, social media and the clickbait and that kind of stuff.
I
see many
people
do it, like you guys, you and I, because we're in it all the time. But I'm starting to see other people saying, like, I'm just shutting this off because it's not.
Yeah.
It's
and propaganda. Then you find you're... You really won't be missing much,
truly,
and life will be better, so trust me.
All right, young man. Dan, thanks for all your service all these years of calling in faithfully every other Wednesday. We appreciate you being a big part of the show, so thank you and what you do.
Thank you, and congratulations to you. It's a big deal, and I appreciate what you bring to the market.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What are you going to do? You hanging? You going? What are you doing?
You tell me. You kick me out when you want me out of here.
Whatever you
want to
leave.
I tend to take over everything, right? I take over the microphone.
That's okay.
I don't give you time to talk.
You haven't had a shot to do this, so I'm okay with that.
I'm all yours.
All right. Joe Higgins, Christy Simone. It's the 11th anniversary show. We have Naomi Lopez from the Goldwater Institute calling up at the top of the hour. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.